What's going on with you guys? So it's been another fucking week, which means you get another one of these shitty podcasts that I'm still doing. So give me some credit there. Haven't bailed out yet. This podcast is obviously, well, that's attractive, Taylor. Started off in the first fucking 11 seconds sniffing into the microphone like a goober. So brought to you by Patreon, the first bonus episode or premium episode, whatever you want to call it, of the Truly Terrible Podcast has been put up for the 10 and up, no, 5 and up. $5 and up Patreon, so if you want to get in on that, $5 and up, and you will gain access to it. I'm not sure if I'm going to release it. As of right now, I'm not planning on releasing it ever for anyone who's not a Patreon, just because I don't really see the point of that. If I do it, it kind of takes away the benefit from the people who are supporting me. So not to say everybody isn't supporting me, you know, not to say fuck the rest of you guys, but yeah, if you'd like to do that, I really appreciate it. Only $5, and it's really a steal. Like, you know, it's 100% savings because I could have charged 10. So really, I mean, 50% off, 100% savings, same difference. Anywho, so let's get into the advertising for this week. Excellent product or service, I suppose. I haven't used them myself for reasons that you will soon see, but I still stand behind them wholeheartedly, and hopefully you guys will enjoy them as well, since I know a lot of you have encountered this as an issue. All right, let me pull it up. So, all right, Denny's Discount Disposal. Safe sex sucks. It always has, and it likely always will. It's time we stop kidding ourselves with condoms that claim to maintain sensitivity or even improve the experience with newfangled nonsense like flavors or ridges. You wouldn't watch a movie through a hefty bag, so why try and have sex through something similar? Until now, the only ways to avoid children were expensive birth control, Plan B, or the ludicrously overpriced abortion. What's a couple to do? Introducing Denny's Discount Disposal. Denny's Discount Disposal, in partnership with Dyson Vacuums, is now available to offer a fast, easy, and cost-effective abortion at a fraction of the price. For only $49.99, Denny will send a licensed exterminator to your home or place of business to remove your embryonic intruder without interrupting your busy schedule. Still too expensive? Denny now offers a layaway program. For 3 easy payments of $19.95, a certified technician will remove the intruder piece by piece over the course of 3 simple sessions. But wait, there's more. Why not make money through the process? Denny will buy back your potential child's organs at market price. Stephanie in Cincinnati made $30. Becky in Chicago made $75. Call 1-800-WE-SUCK or visit dennysdiscountdisposal.biz and use coupon code NOREGRETS to get 15% off your first session. We're also introducing Denny's points. Earn 2 points per procedure and redeem 10 points at once for a free eradication. Don't wait and start enjoying sex the way the good Lord intended. So, excellent product, excellent service. They used to be way more expensive, little do you guys know, because you probably haven't heard of this before. Denny's Discount Disposal used to be $79.99, and then the newfound partnership with Dyson made their entire suction process streamlined, and they're able to do it much faster. It's just a great experience from start to finish. I mean, I don't know how it feels because I don't have a vagina, but or the capability to grow a human inside me. But from what I've heard from all my female friends who have used the service, way cheaper. It's safer than Plan B, actually. What they don't tell you about Plan B is that it's not just a cure-all that you can just take all the time, which is actually, this is actually true, what I'm about to tell you, is one of my friends in high school was with this chick, and they didn't fully understand the ramifications of Plan B, where you shouldn't be taking that all the fucking time, because it's really bad for your reproductive system, and this chick took Plan B, like, every third day for, like, 2 months, until the point that her periods got all messed up, and she had to go to the doctor, and the doctor was like, are you shitting me? Like, the only reason they could afford it is because they were, or the one of them, I won't say who, was very wealthy. And so, yeah, very fucked up there. So, don't do that. Instead, use Denny's Discount Disposal, and you're going to save money, and you're going to, I mean, if you're getting, you know, pregnant that often, you're going to end up saving way more money through Denny's points. Every 5 abortions, you get a 6th free. So at that point, why even bother having safe sex for the 6th time? It's like, I mean, it's free anyway. I'll just have Chuck or Ted or Aaron, any of those great exterminator technicians. I've met all 3. Come out to my place of business. I mean, hell, do it on your lunch break. It only takes a couple minutes. I mean, don't be one of those fucks who does it on layaway, because that's ridiculous. You don't want, you know, a third of a child inside of you for a few days while you work out your schedule before you can afford the last $19.95. I mean, Jesus Christ, make that deadbeat man help you pay for it. Anywho, that is a great service. Hope you guys like it. And just tell him Taylor sent you. Tell Denny that. God, what the fuck? I don't know where I'm coming. That's the most ludicrous one that I've had so far. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna go from here. Discount abortions. Can you imagine if that was like a real thing? Like people couldn't afford. Well, I guess Jesus Christ, that is a real thing. You go to Mexico to get an abortion. This is like a real thing. They don't partner with Dyson. If they did partner with a vacuum company, I doubt they would do it with Dyson. Dyson has those like fancy vacuums that roll around on the ball, which is horse shit. Because it's like, is that making it suck up the dirt better? You fuck. Is it really? Is it? Oh wow, look how clean my apartment is. Oh my God, how'd you get it this clean? Oh, it's because I have that vacuum that I paid, you know, $190 for. It has the ball on the bottom. Oh, does it help it suck up more? No. It just makes it look like I'm vacuuming on Mars, or like I'm a really pretentious douche who also has a Roomba, like something like that doesn't work that well, but it makes you look fancy. And that dude in the Dyson commercials, like Dickie Dyson or whatever the hell that guy's name is, coming out there. Oh, we work on vacuums at Dyson. You know, it works real good. We have scientists working on it all the time. What the fuck accent is that? But that's not what he sounds like that much. But you get the point. Like, how much R&D are they doing on sucking dirt into a bag? It can't be that hard. There's just no way. That's why they're adding balls to it. Oh, you'll roll around right great with your Dyson vacuum. It'll work out awesome. You got a little ball on there. Oh, you got a little crumb in the corner. Can't reach that with a traditional vacuum, can you? Throw the ball on there, whoop-de-doo, you know. Whip it up and be back in time for cricket. And, you know, it's just silly. There's no reason for that shit with vacuums. Get a hold of yourself. What am I talking about? God, I'm a little sleepy right now, so that's why I sound a little off-kilter, maybe. Who knows? Maybe I just talked myself out for no reason. Maybe I was doing really well and I just psyched myself out. Anywho, so 7 minutes in and I've said nothing, so that's great. I was looking for news stories and I covered a few things that if you're wondering, like, oh, why the hell isn't he talking about this news story? Chances are I covered it in the premium episode, and I don't want to rehash that more than once because that doesn't really seem fair, where it's like, hey, you get this bonus episode where I talk about all the same shit that I would have talked about anyway. Like, that's pretty shitty. So, the Chicago riots, there's some riots in Chicago right now. I only wish they were rioting right near where the Blackhawks slept so that they would get poor sleep before their game and then perform equally poorly. I don't even know why I'm hating on them this year. They're not doing super, super well. Like, I mean, they beat us, we beat them, so it's our season series is split 1-1 right now. We just lost to Pittsburgh today, which is shitty. I mean, we took it to OT, so at least we got 1 point. Crosby scored on us twice, which was unexpected because the Blues were the last team to never have Crosby score on them. So they were the 29th team because Crosby's always played for the Penguins. And so the last team on the chopping block was the Blues, and it's been years and years and years, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner. I mean, they are in the East, so we don't play them that much, but still, pretty impressive that we lasted out that long. But he scored two, so he put up two tonight, so it made us look like quite the fools. Anyway, yeah, Blues are doing solid. I'm excited. If you're not into hockey, and you're from, like, the UK or somewhere where they really don't give two shits about hockey, and you're trying to get into it, just glob onto my team. Be a St. Louis Blues fan. You know, let's go Blues. You know, buy their t-shirts. Buy their hats. People are going to be like, wow, what's that really cool emblem on your hat? And you'll be like, oh, this is a hockey team from the States, eh? And then they'll be like, oh, are you Australian or are you British? And then you go, oh, I haven't think that far ahead, eh, mate? Throw it on the bobby. And then that'll be about the extent of it. But yeah, the Chicago shit. Usually I'm pretty, like, I try and be even-keeled with the whole, like, every time some sensationalist shit comes out where it's like, unarmed teen beaten and raped and shot 10 times in the back of the head by KKK cop member who also molests children in his spare time and doesn't return his library books. I try and be even-keeled because those stories tend to be really exaggerated when they come at it from that angle. But this one had pretty much all the evidence you need. There's a dash cam of it. Basically, this guy, this black teen, was walking around, and he was on PCP, so 17-year-old on PCP. He did have a knife, and he was walking, and you can see from the dash cam that's been released that the Suburban, there's like four different cops, Suburban cop cars pulling up on this guy. He's walking through the middle of the road, and he's stumbling around, not like someone who's drunk that much, more like someone, well, I guess it could look like someone who's drunk, but the I guess, autopsy confirmed that he had PCP in his system, and PCP is like that drug that makes human beings borderline invincible, like shoot them with buckshot and they just keep lumbering at you with their knife or gross, you know, junky fingernails, whatever their weapon of choice is that evening. So this dude stumbling around, he has a knife, but he wasn't, the key thing is like he wasn't close enough to the cop that shot him or any other cop to be making like a lunging, threatening gesture. Like, sure, if he was like, if he lifted the knife over his head like a crazy PCP person and started running at the cop, then yeah, put a couple bullets in that guy, put him down. It's not worth the risk that you could get stabbed and killed for someone on PCP to just come over and ravage you like a tiger on a gazelle. Like, it's just, that's two different parts of the country, of the world, actually. Lion on a gazelle. There we go. I know that all those years of Animal Planet weren't for nothing. Like, if that's happening, then yeah, kill the guy. That's not fair to you to have to be like, well, maybe he's just coming over to talk. Stabbed in the head. But this dude was walking around, probably like 10, not more than 10 feet, I would say, from the cop. And the cop, his excuse was, you know, I didn't have a taser, so he just shot the guy. And he didn't shoot him, you know, once to put him down and then notice he stopped moving. He shot the dude a lot of times. I don't know the exact number, but I am 95% sure it was double digits. Like, you can, as the guy's laying on the ground shot, you can see the dust kick up from additional rounds going off near or through the now dead teenager. And it's like, oh, you can say, oh yeah, he was on PCP, he had a knife. But at the end of the day, it's like, he wasn't a direct threat to them at the time. You know, like if the guy didn't have a taser, it's like, guess what? Someone there had a taser, and you could have hopped back in your Suburban, you could have done any number of things, you could have backed off, you could have tactfully retreated and waited for someone with pepper spray, or probably not pepper spray, I think PCP would probably overpower that pepper spray, but someone with a taser to just shut down their nervous system to show up and take care of it, because there were lots of cops there. Like, there's no way that all of them were like, oh god damn it, we forgot to bring our tasers, all eight of us. No way that happened. Like, sure, the guy was being a shithead, walking around with a knife, vandalizing, being a danger to himself and others, but it wasn't a direct enough danger to warrant just being put down like that, like a dog in the street. Like, that's not, like, in this situation, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm being serious, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the cop was at fault. Definitely at fault. If there, maybe there's, like, more shit in the video that I didn't pick up on, but that's all I can see for now. Like, so this seems like a pretty cut and dry case to me about the cop, or an example of the cop just being a real shithead, which is not good to see, but it does lend credence to the people who claim like the cops are like uber hyper aggressive and way too much nowadays militarized and whatnot, and just gung-ho, like they're acting like they're in, you know, Iraq when really they're in Chirac, I guess. Yeah, just real shitty, and it's, I don't know, it's almost hard to even take seriously when, like, without video and stuff, sometimes when people are like, oh, yeah, this person got shot without any provocation, and this and that happened, and it was just an innocent angel who was killed, you know, now they're up in heaven looking down at us, smiling, even, you know, wishing the best on their murderers, like, because so many times it comes out that that story is not true, and the person who got killed is actually at least partially responsible for it by initiating some sort of fight or failing to surrender to the cops, and they're demanding it with a gun on him, or they hold them at gunpoint, and then some dude like reaches down quickly, or like it's like, oh, they're unarmed, but yeah, the cop doesn't know that when they're like making a frantic movement towards something at their waistband. You have no idea. Like, you have no clue. So it is a really split issue, but in this situation, yeah, I would say 100% or 95, 96% cop at fault. The other 4% are, you know, wandering around in the street with a knife on PCP. So that's, maybe that's more than 4%. Who knows? Either way, it'll actually give the whole Black Lives Matter protesters something reasonable to protest about, because up until now, every time I hear about protests from the Black Lives Matter people, it's all like they're protesting the dude who assaulted his girlfriend and then was like making moves to assault a cop, and then that guy got shot. And it's like, well, how about you stick up for someone who's not a piece of shit? Like, you don't have to jump to the defense of every black person. Like, nobody assumes that when one black, or I guess some racists assume when one black guy does something shitty, it's like, oh, see, your entire movement is debunked. Like, but most people aren't like that, I choose to believe, or I don't think. So at least now they have someone to stand by who, where it seems reasonable, where, like, you know, of course, the PCP thing doesn't help, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, sure, he made a mistake, he did a drug, he shouldn't be killed for that, I don't think. If he had lunged at someone with a knife or tried to kill someone, then yeah, but he didn't, so fuck that cop. That Black Lives Matter thing is just, seems like it's really spinning out of control. They gotta be way more selective with their screening process for who they picket and protest on behalf of, because it's like, I don't know, it, like, when you sensationalize every single case that involves a certain race or demographic or something, and just vilify certain individuals involved, it's just like, you lose credence, you know? You can't just pick all of them. You gotta be selective. You only get one number one draft pick. So you gotta pick them good. There, if there's a bunch of different picks to choose from every week, it's like fantasy football. You gotta pick the best one. You can't just pick everyone and hope for the best, because that's not how fantasy football works, and that's not how life works. You know, sew that into a pillow. Keep it on your chaise lounge for when you're down and you need a little life lesson. Have your grandma do that, because I'm sure none of you guys sew. But yeah, that's all the Black Lives Matter thing I really wanted to talk about. I guess that ties into the Chicago riots too, but I understand where they're coming from with a lot of that shit, because it is ridiculous, the shaft that black people get with cops. Like, I think that's pretty much undeniable. Like it, isn't it at this point? Like, it's kind of understood. Like, they get the shaft in a lot of areas. Absolutely. I don't think many people will deny that. But you're not helping your case when you're just defending criminals and legitimate shit people just because, hey, they're black, I'm black, gotta defend them. Or, hey, they're black, I got a lot of white guilt, and I feel like it's my sort of, you know, duty to do this on behalf of them. That weird kind of, like, I guess, soft, condescending racism of low expectations that a lot of people place on minority groups, where it's not like racism, like, in the deep south of, like, oh, all these N-words running around ruining my country, breathing the white man's air. It's more of, like, the subtle racism of low expectations of, like, oh, well, they can't really be held accountable for their actions. They're not like you and I. They have lower your expectations for them. Like, we're all the same, but treat them different. Like, that's, like, the more underhanded, I guess, and less blatant form of racism that is almost even politically correct. Like, it's almost politically incorrect to not be that form of racist, you know? Whatever. So, in lighter news, I saw some shit that the Whole Foods turkeys are being treated poorly. Oh my god, stop the presses! Which I just think is so funny. So funny. I'm almost happy. I mean, I feel bad. Like, I talk shit about animals where I'm like, I don't give a fuck how they're treated or what, and I'll just eat them anyway, which is, it's like 80% true, but there's no reason to just needlessly fuck with animals and keep them in shit conditions. Like, if that's the only way you can produce enough meat for our society to have enough meat for everyone, then yeah, I prioritize even the comfort of human beings over the lives of animals like turkeys. Like, I'm like, not like a tiger, but a fucking turkey. Like, at the end of the day, come on. Like, who really cares? It's turkey. We make a ton of them. It's fine. But the reason it's funny is because you know that so many people who bought their overpriced butterball turkeys wrapped in something that said gluten-free or free-range at Whole Foods instead of at Walmart are now finding out, like, well, shit. I paid an extra $9 for my fucking turkey, and now it turns out that this turkey was bunking right next to, you know, GMO Greg at the Walmart farm or factory farm. So I don't know. That's just funny to me, you know? I've only been to Whole Foods once, and I think I've mentioned this before. I don't know if I talked about this like on the pre-show at PKA when I was talking to Kyle and Woody about it or something, but Melissa and I walked in just to look around, and we walked around the whole store just to look, like, not like through every aisle like maniacs, like looking at every item, like, look how expensive this is. No, you won't. You would get a load of how expensive this is. We just walked around the outer edge of the produce, the meat, all that, the bread, all that stuff that's on the outer rim of grocery stores, which is kind of where you want to hang out if you're trying to eat healthy, the outer rim. You know, you can't get lost in the maze of the Cheez-Its and the Goldfish. That's where I pack on my extra calories that I don't need. We walked around, and it was just ludicrously expensive. Like, beyond the pale more expensive. Like, there's a local grocery store that was really, really close to it, and we went there instead. And it had good quality stuff. And it was, honestly, everything was, like, at least 25% cheaper. 20% cheaper, I'll be realistic. Like, if something was $10 at Whole Foods, it was $8 at this place. Like, it's... And that adds up. Like, if you buy 20 things at the store because you're making a big meal, Jesus Christ, that's $30 to $40 that you're spending extra. So, it's just funny. Funny to me that first of all, this would be a big news story. Like, do you really think that turkeys on Thanksgiving are being, like, the red carpet is being rolled out for them at those factory farms, really? Like, this is when they need more turkeys than ever. Nobody eats a bunch of turkey the rest of the year. You know why? Because it's mostly dry and shitty meat. Unless you deep fry it, it's not that great, which is why my family has deep fried turkey, regular turkey, and ham, a big old ham with like pineapple on it and shit. It's excellent. Fits in really well with my strategy on Thanksgiving. I'm not like the biggest fan. Every year it seems like people just are so excited about Thanksgiving food, and I just, there's like a handful of things that I like with Thanksgiving food. I don't know if you guys are the same way, but like I don't really, Melissa made two delicious looking pumpkin pies, and I'm excited to try those, but to be honest, I really don't ever eat sweets, and so I don't eat pies. I'll have like a couple bites just to appease the people who made the pies, but I'm never like, oh my god, pie, I can't wait. Like, I'll eat the pie so the person who made the pie can ask if I liked the pie, and then I can say, oh, I love the pie, and then they'll say, do you want a piece of pie? And I'll say no, and I don't like stuffing. I have, and people will say, you know, you need to try my grandma's stuffing. No, I've tried lots of stuffing. Believe me, I don't get it. I don't get the, it's not bad. It's not like I eat stuffing and I'm like, oh, fuck, this is gross. It's just, I eat it and I'm like, all right, well, where's the party? Like, what's everybody freaking out about? Like, everybody's always talking about stuffing. It's not that great. Overrated. Really what I do Thanksgiving is I'll eat corn, some green beans, so whatever kind of homemade rolls are there, and then I just, and that's like 3% of my meal, those things I just listed. So don't make it seem like, oh, he's eating at least, you know, some things that are, you know, grow out of the ground. No, 97% of what I eat is I just load up on meat. I eat so much turkey, it's gross, so much deep fried turkey that it's gross, and then I cap that with just another sickening amount of ham, an amount of ham that no one should eat as a chaser to the amount of turkey I just ate. And then I don't fall asleep because turkey's got tryptophan or whatever, which I don't actually think makes you that tired. I think it's more just the big meal you have. I fall asleep just with the meat sweats, just sweat beating down my face as I sit there trying to focus like someone who's blackout drunk, just trying to stick with it, pretending to be interested in football so nobody will talk to me as I'm trying consciously to digest. Do you ever get that full that you have to like sit there and consciously digest your food? Like, you can't just let it go on its own or it'll get out of control. You have to sit there and almost like focus on your stomach. Like, come on, you can do this. You can muscle it down. I put on the Rocky IV. I always have the Rocky music on my iPod, and I put that in my ears, pretend to watch football and just muscle it through. I'm kidding. I don't have an iPad. What year is it? Yeah. So Thanksgiving food. The meat's excellent. The rest of it, I'm not the biggest fan. The hell else did I write down? Oh, Spike Lee, that race baiter with all of his silly movies. He suggests, I was on, trying to just look up articles on just anything interesting, and it was on salon.com, and I know that's kind of a shitty rag, but it had some interesting titles, so I decided to look at it, and it said that Spike Lee, to combat like sexual assault and rapes and things like that on college campuses, he was suggesting a sex strike, which is just so fucking funny, because it's like, first of all, so your plan to end sexual assault and rape is to further frustrate sexually aggravated rapists and, like, or I guess that just defeated my own point there, because rapists aren't getting sex anyway because they're creepy rapists, would be my guess at that. But a sex strike. So basically you're assuming with that, which is very condescending, that no women actually enjoy sex, that it's just something that men enjoy that women do for men. You're also doing a weird kind of chauvinistic militarization of pussy, which is like, okay, so who are you, the grand arbiter of twat, that you can just say, oh yeah, we should just have a sex strike. Really? You should? How about you have your own sex strike, you ugly fucking weevil? Like, nobody wants to bang you. Like, you've been on your own sex strike unimposed forever. Like, it's like an anorexic going on a hunger strike. It doesn't really mean anything. You're already doing it. Like, inadvertently, even. It's just fucking stupid. Like, a sex strike? How would that help? By further objectifying women as just vessels for sex? That's the only power they have? They don't have the power of discourse or reasonability. All they have is the ability to shut their legs. Like, that's pretty condescending, Spike Lee. How about you go make another movie about race baiting and nonsense that you will never get any big awards, because even people who agree with your narrative realize that it's not that well done of a movie. Like, it's just, ugh, I don't like that guy. Not at all. I took a film class, and we had to watch some of his stuff, and I hated it. I hated it, because you weren't allowed to critique anything, or you were a racist. And even if it had nothing to do with the race, nothing at all. It could be a scene that had nothing to do with race at all, which is hard to find in his movies. And you could just be like, this dialogue is bad. This dialogue is bad, this scene is shot awkwardly, and the teacher would still have to be like, well, you know, you have to understand the angle he's coming from here. Where it's like, do I really? No. No, it's a shit movie, and you're just defending it out of fear that someone say, oh, you know, Professor Joe Schmo didn't say that they liked Do the Right Thing very much by Spike Lee, so I think that he might secretly be a Klansman. Just nonsense, and that whole sex strike thing is like, why is he putting his nose in this anyway? Did you even go to college, Spike Lee? How about you chill out and stop suggesting nonsense things? Sex strike. That's gonna happen. All the chicks on campus are going to say, we're not gonna have sex with you until rape and sexual assault stops. Like, what? From everyone? You realize most people aren't doing this, right? Like, That would be like the TSA saying, no more flights for anyone until we catch all the terrorists. Where it's like, what? You know, why are you punishing all of us for something that a teensy tiny percentage of people are doing? Like, this is not rational. Yeah, but, you know, I don't expect him to be rational. I do not like that guy at all. Seattle is thinking about implementing safe heroin injection sites, of course, funded by the government there. So that's great news for all you Seattle residents. I mean, I bet you're all really looking forward to that influx of smackheads from Portland, from Sacramento, from Salt Lake City, from Vegas, from all these. It's going to be the new mecca of smack. It's going to be wonderful for you. That's totally not putting, you know, the residents of Seattle at unneeded risk at all. And it's also not really just enabling their addiction. We just want to make sure that they can inject their deadly drugs safely. Do you really want to do that? Like, I understand the rationale. Like, I understand that it's good. If they're going to do it, it's best that they do it safely. Like, at least prevent, to some degree, the spread of the diseases. Like, you know, HIV or Hep C or all those awful diseases that can come of it. But at the expense of the people living there who aren't on heroin, it doesn't seem very fair. Like, when you put people who are on heroin in an area like that, first of all, there's going to be a lot of heroin addicts, and they are not pleasant to be around, because they will do anything for more heroin. And people who are selling heroin in that area are going to end up driving up the price because the demand is going to be so much higher, and they're not going to suddenly, or not all of a sudden, have a ton of production to meet the needs of all these fucking newfound heroin addicts who went to Seattle so they could shoot up safely, which I really do think has a chance of happening. Like, if you're a smackhead in Portland, what's your incentive to not go to Seattle for the safe shoot-up areas where you know it's all okay? Like, and then you're just going to start staying there because you're on heroin and you're not taking day trips between your part-time jobs back to Seattle and forth. Like, you don't do heroin like some people smoke weed where they wake and bake. Like, you don't wake and shoot up heroin. As a matter of fact, if you wake and you don't shoot up heroin, it's more like a wake and shake where you're just going through withdrawals and you can die. Really nasty drug. But I could be totally off base on this. But it doesn't seem fair to the people in that city to put them at unneeded risk. Like, it's still an illicit substance, and it seems like nothing good is going to come of this. Like, yeah, the people who are doing heroin will get a benefit, but at the expense of all the people around them, I don't know. Is that fair? Is it? Like, and is it even going to be a big expense for the people around them? What's going to happen? I don't know. I'm not from Seattle. I've been there once. Pretty city. I liked that the pier where I went. I smoked on the pier a big cigar because I didn't realize that there was a no smoking sign on the pier, and I looked like a real asshole. People were giving me dirty looks, and I didn't realize why, and I wasn't doing it to be like, haha, look at me, I'm a rebellious fuck smoking this big stogie in the middle of this pier in Seattle, even though I clearly am not from here, otherwise I wouldn't be here, because it seems like people from Seattle don't go to this pier. Or this dock, or whatever the hell it was. And, so yeah, I just looked like a real dick, and I didn't realize till afterwards, so my bad, residents of Seattle. It's not like I, you know, walked up to, and a bunch of homeless people started trying to talk to me. And it was like, I'm not used to that. I'm not used to these Seattle-style homeless who are, like, look more like starving artists than real homeless people. Like, they had multiple sleeping bags, some of them. I saw a guy with a Starbucks cup. It's like, that's weird. This is a very different kind of homeless. I'm used to St. Louis homeless, where you see them and you look down and you walk quickly in the other direction because they're mumbling nonsense and they have their hands in their pockets. And if you try and give them change, they will reach out and grab your arm and pull you towards them. That literally happened to me when I was, Jesus Christ, I was like 13 years old or so. It was after a Blues game. I was walking downtown back to the car. I saw a guy, and I was like, I'm going to give him like a couple bucks. Like, I'm going to be a nice guy. And he was sitting on the sidewalk, and in front of people, like, I gave it to him, and he reached out, grabbed my arm by my sleeve, and started pulling me towards him. And I just yanked away real quick. Like, what the fuck? Like, Jesus Christ, dude, I'm trying to give you a buck, and you pull that shit? Unreal. Like, be respectful. I'm trying to be nice. I know I'm a kid, but, you know, if you wanted to rape me, you should have done it in a more tactful way. There's a lot of people here. You should have waited for the last kid to stumble out of the game. Alright, anyway. God damn, what have I been talking about for over half an hour? So, it's time for some Patreon questions. Podcast question, long distance. Hey, Merca, saw you... Jesus Christ, learn to read, you fucking idiot. Hey, Merca. Thanks for your entertaining podcast. I saw that on episode 7, you talked about long-distance relationships and how it doesn't work. I have a related question. I'm 20 in college, and last year I dated a girl for 6 months, knowing she'd go abroad in September. I had my own place, but basically lived with her the entire time, so we were really close. You had your own place, but you lived with her the entire time while you dated. Okay. She was going to go to the other side of the planet, so we both knew that the relation would be doomed, so we broke up in good terms. Kissed her goodbye before she took her plane, cried, etc. When she left 3 months ago, we kept IMing, FaceTime, and talked like friends, but as time went, I started to realize that I was more and more often the one that initiated the conversation. I wanted to verify this feeling I had, so 10 days ago I stopped sending the first message to see if she'd engage, and she hasn't since. Yep, it's over! Which is fine. She's on the other side of the planet. And she is probably getting banged by someone on that side of the planet. My question is, should I just let her go and see what happens when she comes back next summer? Or should I still talk to her even though I know that you would make any effort if I didn't. Thanks in advance for your answer. Completely cut off contact with her, first of all. Don't send any IMs or messages first. It seems needy, and it's very unattractive to them. So don't initiate the conversation at all. If she does send you a text or an IM or whatever and initiates the conversation, ignore that too. The first one that she sends you, ignore it. If she messages you again a couple weeks later or a few days later or something, you can respond to that one. But the first one that she sends you to check in, ignore it. Because the only reason she'll be sending you that message, she's already exhibited. I guess I should backtrack. She's already exhibited that she's over you by not initiating contact in 10 days after apparently you're the one who initiates everything. So she's clearly got another love interest over there or something. You could always rationalize it and say, oh, she's just so busy. But no, nobody's too busy for an IM every so often. If she does send one to you asking how you've been or what's up or, like, you know, you finding any other girls there? Haha, I met some really nice people here. It's great. Ignore that one. Because she's looking for attention. Chances are she is back home from the bar, or the guy that she was supposed to go out with that night didn't work out, and now she's fiending for her attention quota, and she's turning to you as a last resort. Ignore that. Next time she tries to reach out to you, maybe consider talking to her, but from what I can tell, this is over. So don't take it too hard. Looks like you already did the best job you could ending it on good terms, so excellent job there. Kudos. But yeah, this is fucking over. You should completely move on, and... Don't even, you're not going to end up banging her anymore. Why do you care? Like, is it more of an infatuation, or do you love her, or I can't tell from the tone or anything, but it seems pretty over. So just, yeah, break off all contact until she comes back. That's my advice. Hey, Taylor, question for the Truly Terrible Podcast. Now that you've graduated college, I was wondering what you enjoy more, work or school. I know that you can't go into the nature of your job, but I've heard a lot of people say that college is the best 4 years of your life, and personally, that makes me a bit sad. I don't want to go through my life reminiscing on college. Personally, I'd want the best 4 years of my life to be the last four, but I was wondering what you thought as someone who has been through college. I mean, I'm in my mid-20s, so... For me to be like, oh yeah, they're totally the best four-year life, like, that would be kind of foolish. I don't have enough insight into life as to whether or not that's true. Maybe when I'm 40, I'll be like, oh man, 32 to 36, fucking dope. Awesome years. Loved it. But as of right now, at my age, being out of college for, I guess, coming up on almost, you know, like, between 4 and 5 years, it's... Like, I don't know. It is the best time that I've had in my life so far. Like, college was a ton of fun. I loved it. I like working as well. Like, it's different. It's different benefits. With college, you have the added benefit of so much sociability right at your fingertips, less responsibility. You can just go out. All you have to do, get your homework done, and then you can go out and do whatever you want. It's so easy. Like, looking back, I don't know why I stressed so much about certain homework things when I could have just been like, hey, enjoy this. It's going to be way easier than when you're out in the working world. But also, the working benefit is you have more freedom, you have more money, and you're able to be like, all right, it's, you know, 6 p.m. on a Friday night. I don't have to do any work at home this weekend, and so I can do whatever the hell I want until I have to go to work on Monday. So, you know, I can do whatever I like. I don't have to write a paper. I don't have to fucking, you know, go to an office hour. I can do anything I want, and I have the money to do it. So overall, college was way, way better, but there's benefits to being out of school as well. So hopefully that answered a bit. But yeah, enjoy college while you're there, because you are going to miss it, definitely. I miss college all the time. What the fuck is... What? What does this say? I have no idea what the fuck this is trying to say, so I'm skipping that. Yeah, sorry. Maybe I'll get back to you some other time. All right. Going to some of the emails you guys sent me. Don't read... Okay. I'm a sophomore who goes to high school, and I've been depressed for years now, and recently been diagnosed by a doctor for depression and ADD, both of which I can't afford medication for. Last year, I had a GPA of below 2, and this year's first quarter was about 2. I feel and have no hope for the future, and feel like none of my, quote, dreams will come true because of my grades. Don't think that. That's not... Nah, you're fine, buddy. You're only a sophomore. I try to focus in school, but I'm bad, and I can't help but feel retarded. I have now had a job for about 6 months, and I recently have started to take an entire month off so I can focus more on school. I won't quit because my family doesn't have much money, and the job is almost necessary. It's really good. You're building up a work ethic. It's respectable, especially at your age. Because of the loss of hope, I'm considering going to the Army for 4 years, probably in infantry, while getting a four-year college degree at the same time. My mother constantly says that I will die or become crippled or something. Jesus Christ! That is a real... That's a grade A Debbie Downer comment. You know, I think I'm going to go to the Army for 4 years. Really improve my physical stamina, my shape, learn some life lessons, get college. You're going to die and be crippled. Oh, thanks, Mom. Thank you. Thanks. Always so encouraging and helpful. Die or become crippled or something if I were to join because of the danger. Granted, even after searching online, I can't find much information about the military and what I'd do. Over the summer, I lost my entire friend group, and I've been a suicidal piece of shit for the past 4 months. Jesus, and my depression is getting worse. I've been depressed for about 2 years. I look ugly because of my moderate acne. I've tried everything, but I still feel repulsive, so my confidence is next to the bottom. I've been heavily considering killing myself, but I don't want the others around me to feel guilty. I know this is more than a handful. Yeah, Jesus Christ, this is like a wheelbarrow. But I just need any advice on what to do in life, suicide, and especially school. Big fan of you, man. How about playing zombies with fans? That'd be cool. Good lord, dude. This is a lot. A lot of shit here. Yeah, man. Like, you are way too down on yourself. And I know what it's like to be depressed. I've been in that boat before, too. I'm a very, very high-strung person. So all it takes is something really little. And I don't, like, freak out with stress, but I'm just constantly ticking on that. Like, it'll be something that's not a big deal at all, but in my head, I build it into something, and externally, I seem fine, but internally, I'm just, like, working like a grandfather clock to get through. What a bad analogy, you dumb fuck. Grandfather clock? God. Just working through this stress, trying to reconcile it, and it's really hard for me. So I know what you feel in regard to the anxiety and depression. I feel like that sometimes, but I've never been suicidal, so I can't possibly empathize with that, what that must feel like. Honestly, the GPA is it's not a good GPA, as you know, but it's not the end of the world, dude. Like, you're gonna be okay. Like, all you have to do is, you're a sophomore, first of all, so you're not even halfway through. It's this time of year, so you are your third semester into your 8 semesters of high school. Third into 8, not even halfway done. You can turn that around. Absolutely, you're not stupid. You can do it. You're a fan of my content. You can't be stupid. It's just, that's impossible. Like, it's laughable to even consider. You have no hope for the future. You don't think any of your dreams will come true. Dude, welcome to the party. Like, you take a seat anywhere. That's how the overwhelming majority of people feel, that your dreams aren't going to come true. Pretty much everybody, like, feels like that. I didn't even have dreams in high school, really. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I would be good at or what would draw my attention in college. Maybe you don't either, honestly. Like, maybe you have a grandiose plan of what your dream is, but you'll go to college and you'll realize, you know what? Or maybe not even college. Maybe that's not for you. Maybe you go out into the world and you realize, you know what, that dream that I thought that I wanted years ago, that's not even me. That's not what I want. I want this and that, and, you know, maybe I don't even know what I want, and that's fine. Take your time on that shit. There's no reason to rush. But yeah, as far as the ADD and the depression, man, not being able to afford the medicine, that really sucks. I've taken medicine before for depression when I was much, much, much younger, and I really hated the way it made me feel. So it's not necessarily that great of a thing to put your dependence into medicines like that. For some people it is, absolutely. For some people it's not. For me, it wasn't. It wasn't that I felt suicidal from it or any, like, adverse effects per se. It was just I felt cloudy, like I wasn't as quick, and I just felt different, and I didn't like it. I'm trying to think. You try to focus in school, but you're bad. Yeah, focusing in school can be hard. Like, there's not really anything you can do, but do your best. Like, that's shit advice, I know, but there's nothing else I could say. Like, if you're already doing your best, and if this is the best you can do, then, you know, continue that, but I really think you could probably do better. And I think you think you can do better too. You just feel hamstrung by this depression. You have a job and you've had it for 6 months. That's really impressive that you've done that. Being this depressed and at your age right now and holding down a job with what seems to be a financially unstable family life, like, that's already on your own. You're building more character than I'd wager 95% of the people your age. Like, that's, you're going to look back at this and maybe you'll look back on it as the worst time of your life. Maybe you'll look back on it and realize when you're successful in a, like, 5-10 years, hey, that whole time of my life, that kind of taught me the lessons I needed to not be a spoiled, pampered little bitch when I got out into the real world expecting things handed to me. That's what taught me that I had to work. I had to put myself out there to get through things. I dominated that struggling situation, and it made me better. Or maybe you won't. I don't know. I'm just trying to put a happy spin on it for you because I can tell that you are in the dumps, man, and you need someone to help you out, and I wish I could say more. Yeah, if you think the Army is for you, then I say go for it. You know, there's no way that they would just throw you in the infantry if that's what you're dreading. But it doesn't sound to me like you dread that. It sounds to me like your mom is freaking you out for no reason, which, good God, like, what the fuck? Fuck her. That's awful. Like, no, sorry, don't fuck your mom. but, yeah, that is a great, great way to do it if you can't afford college and you want to go. Bar none. People will say, oh, it's ridiculous. You have to give part of your life to the fucking machine, man, just to get your education, man. But it is a good opportunity if you don't want to go into mountains of debt. So, and as far as the suicide thing, man, cut it out. Don't do that. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. You're a sophomore in high school. That is not the thing you need to be thinking about, dude. That's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. You're going through some shit, but next time you have a happy moment, which you will, next time you get laid, or if you're a virgin the first time you get laid, and it's awesome, and you're loving it, you're going to look back on these thoughts of suicide and realize, holy shit, I could have killed myself and robbed myself of this pleasure, of this fun. Or next time you do anything at all that's fun, holy shit, I could have killed myself. I would have never went paintballing. I would have never played this sport. I would have never made this friend. I would have never seen this movie. Like, just think of it like that. You're depriving yourself of all these future pleasures. Like, you're, I don't know, just try and have a bigger scope on it. Like, that's, it's so easy to say, but so hard to enact. But anyway, I really feel for you, man. So best of luck. Let's see. Sorry, I've been drinking Diet Dr. Pepper and eating these fucking God damn, I've been eating these pork rinds like a disgusting southern savage all night, and they're like the powder, not the powder, but like the crunched up bits are like stuck in my throat, and I've been feeling like I'm gonna cough for the last 10 minutes on this fucking podcast, and I've managed to hold it down, but now it's all coming up. Alright, well, that was not a question that I just clicked on, so let's go to the next one. Alright. This is pretty long, so I need to buckle up, according to this. Hey, Taylor, I'd like to be anonymous. Hello, anonymous, I will keep you that way. I've got a pretty big, long story to tell, so buckle up, slut. I'm 16 and I still wear diapers. Oof. Well, this is going to be a long story. I need to take another drink so that I can get through this. And I'm already feeling for you, dude. This sounds like it's going to be rough. I was born with a disease called spina bifida. I've heard of that. I don't know what it is. Which means that my spine has a defect. Now I know what it is. The surgeons did surgery, as they do, on my spine, causing nerve damage to my bladder and bowel nerves and causing me to have a giant scar on my back. Ever since I was born, I couldn't hold in urine or control my bowels. So I'd have to use a catheter to empty my bladder about every hour to an hour and a half. Oh my God, dude. Oh, that's awful. I am so... That is rough. Golly, those surgeons should have paid you like $10 billion. That is... God. You should have got some money for that shit. That's awful. Urinating was never much of a problem since I can use a catheter. Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. But controlling my bowel was very difficult. I would always have a shitty diaper since I could never empty my bowels enough, and I couldn't tell when I had to go until it was too late. As you can imagine, this has caused a lot of bullying. Yeah. Yeah, dude. I can't imagine. And I don't even know how I would handle a situation like that. You gotta be a stronger person than 99% of people to get through that. I was always bullied and even tried to kill myself when I was 12 because I never wanted to live knowing... Because I never wanted to live knowing being around someone was a burden. I never thought I would have a girlfriend or any friends. I had anxiety so badly that in 7th grade I missed 78 days of school and had to go to court for truancy. Thankfully, the judge understood my situation with anxiety and my disease. Yeah, I would fucking hope so. Jesus. When I was 14, I went to high school and things got a little better, but I was still missing classes due to anxiety. I would be bullied constantly about how I smelled, even if I didn't. Oh, I didn't even consider that. Jesus Christ. This is awful. I gotta take a quick break, though, to get a drink of water or something, because I'm gonna be coughing my way through this whole story. I will be right back, but you won't know I even left. Alright, I'm back, and like a fucking idiot, I ate another one of these pork rinds right before I started the restarted this podcast, and like a fucking, like, why did I do that? Got up, got a drink, throat was feeling good, sitting down, numbly grab another fucking pork rind like an asshole and ate it. Anyway, so, where the hell was I? I'll start back up here. When I was 14, I went to high school and things got a little better, but I was still missing class due to anxiety. I would be bullied constantly about how I smelled, even if I didn't. I was too much of a pussy to fight back. No, you weren't, dude. Even though I was 6 feet in middle school, well, Jesus, at least you're tall. My sophomore year of high school, I went to an online high school, which was much better option since I was at home and no one could bully me. The only downside is that I miss a lot of social opportunities, but I make up for it by being in Police Explorers. I don't know what that means. This year has been the best year in my life because I finally fixed my issue with my bowel. Oh my god. Thank god there was some good news in this fucking email. This is depressing me. Oh. I can't imagine any of this. This is rough, dude. Not to, like, make you feel worse or anything. I mean, I'm glad this got fixed now, but I can't imagine that. That would be... So, you'd have to be so strong to go through that. I have a device called a peristeen, which is an enema machine that pushes water into my colon to clear my bowels. Sorry to be graphic. Nope, I'm glad. Now, if someone mentions a peristeen, as people often do in polite conversation, I'll bring it up over Thanksgiving dinner. I've got a job and have met some really understanding friends that will always support me. That's excellent. Plus, my mom has finished college and we've moved to a much better neighborhood. All in all, life is going pretty good. See? Person from the last email. This gentleman here tried to kill himself when he was 12. And look, just a paragraph, two paragraphs down. Things seemed insurmountable. Life was never going to get better. And look at that. It did. All in all, life is going pretty good. That's what he said. He was going to kill himself, and now all in all, life is going pretty good. So that's excellent. There's a little more to this. This is like a roller coaster ride. I thought I'd just share my story because I thought it was interesting. I'm not a really good storyteller, and I wrote this on my iPhone, so sorry, but keep up with the podcast and PKA. I really enjoy it. Have a nice day. Yeah, Jesus Christ, dude. That is rough. He didn't even ask a question. That was just a good story. I can't imagine that. Just every day knowing, like, oh, you know, I could be shitting right now. Am I shitting? Who knows? I'll just wait and see if I can smell it. Can everybody else smell it? Oh my god, they can. They're going to make fun of me for it. The bullying must have been ruthless. Ruthless. Because kids are mean. Oh. Goddamn, dude. See, it'll get better. Like, I'm saying that to the guy, the previous email, not this one, because this one already got better. So, awesome for you. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that things are going better for you. Jesus Christ, I didn't even know that was a thing. You better have got a lot of fucking money from those from those surgeons. Like, they're, if you didn't, then my God, you need an attorney to get you some money. Because all that should happen in that court is you walk in and the judge is like, what's up? You're accusing these surgeons of something, and then you go, they were doing something with my spine, and then for almost my entire life up until now, I've been shitting and pissing myself. And then the judge will go, oh, is that true? And the surgeons will go, well, we did make an error. And the judge will go, ah, I see. I sentence you to pay him $2 million apiece, and also for both of you to shit and piss your pants right now. In solidarity, in this room, in front of everyone, and then walk around in it for a week. That would be my judge's ruling. I would make them do it not in my courtroom because I would not want them. They're not wearing diapers. They didn't know they're going to be sentenced to shit themselves, so they're going to need to go somewhere else because I don't want poop all over my floor. Anyway, what the fuck am I talking about? Next one. Hi, my name is Pussy McFriendzone. Wonder where this is going to go. I have a question. So, a girl. A, came to my city for collage. Oh, were you guys doing an art project? I assume you mean college. We were in the same folk dance group. Is this going to be real? I got strong feelings for her. I was a pussy and never asked her out to be my girl. We are good friends. Now we talk on the phone about once a week for about an hour because I went to collage in a different city. Before that, we would do some shit together and others would think that we were a couple. She is not very nice to people that she doesn't like. Well, that is a terrible trait. So she's a mean person, is what you're saying. She's not very nice to people she doesn't like. That's just synonymous with, she is a mean person who isn't kind to others. You tried to spin that. She's not very nice to people she doesn't know. Well, how does she make friends? She might be irritating. She has acne a bit. She is short and a bit chubby. She has some health issues. She is cold when it comes to relationships. She never calls me. She is a fucking bitch, but she is all that I want. Oh, Jesus, dude. But in collage, there is girl B. Girl B is cool. She is texting me. We are talking and I like her company. She is nice to others. See, already a step ahead. She is healthy, fit, not a complete opposite of girl A, but she also has something that I find odd, which I like. I'd like to ask her out, but she refused to dance with me, and that is a turnoff for me. She said that she would stop talking to me if I asked her to a dance one more time. Bitchy in a way I don't like. Yeah, sounds bitchy. I don't know her personality as well as girl A. Question is, what should I do? Should I go for girl A or girl B? Remember, A is friend zone, B not yet friend zone. I am creepy as fuck. I tend to put myself in situations that makes me creepy and weird. What the fuck situations? I mean, all I did was I stood outside of her window and looked in during a storm, you know? Scratched her window romantically with a branch I found on the ground, staring intently at her blankets, moving in fear, shivering at the thought of a creepy person looking in. But I don't give a fuck. In high school, I was polite, nerdy, shy. Recent sub, love your shit. I'm creepy as fuck. I love that. Yeah, so girl A sounds like a cunt, so I'm going to say no to that. And you're already friend-zoned, and someone who is not very very nice to people she doesn't like is just a terrible trait. That's literally one of the worst traits a person can have, and the fact that you recognize it enough to say it means that it's very apparent to you and others. You don't want to be that person. She will burn bridges for you. So no. Girl A, throw in the garbage. Girl B, I will stop talking to you if you ask me to a dance again. Fuck that. You can't start a relationship where you're already being threatened and fucking given ultimatums before anything's even started. Ask her to another dance and then call her bluff. She'll either say yes or she'll stop talking to you. Either way, something happens. But yeah, don't be strung around by that bitch. Like, you can't give her the power in the relationship like that. That's not fair to you, dude. If you are interested in her in that way, pursue it. If she's not, fucking cut her off. No more talking, no more chit-chatting. You're not going to be her emotional tampon anymore where she can go and download all of her frustrations onto you and then just leave without being reciprocal at all, like where you're not getting any physical or emotional support out of it. Yeah, fuck that, dude. Fuck that. That's nonsense. And you deserve better. You deserve better. Alright, do a couple more. Jesus Christ, this is a fast scroll. Just missed it all. Firefox, your scrolling is way too quick for me. Taylor. Damn it, why does messaging not let me tab my paragraphs? It looks like he did. Anyway, I love the podcast and the Fallout series. You're probably my favorite person on YouTube. Thank you. That's correct. You give a lot of good advice, and I was wondering if you'd give a little more. I'm 17, just finished a lot of majors, college apps, and I've been working on a club I and a few friends started. However, I've been going through some anxiety lately. It sounds a little strange, but I get anxious over not having a good memory. What does that mean? I always have been in the honors AP track, but I feel left behind by my classmates and is usually over-remembering certain facts or deadlines for assignments. Are you a pot smoker, perhaps? It really is a weird thing to get freaked out by, but when it happens, it only creates more anxiety, which I then focus on instead of focusing on what I forgot. I do that too, where I'll have a bunch of shit to worry about, but instead of worrying about what I need to get done, I worry on the stress of getting it done. So it's a stupid cycle that I have a hard time breaking. I have been sleeping more and it seems to help, but I am not sure. I was hoping you had any form of advice, from simply nutting up to seeing somebody about it. Thank you for anything you say, because it'll probably help. Best regards, Anonymous. So honestly, dude, all you can do is try harder to focus, unless you legitimately think this is a neurological thing where you are actually unable to remember. Like, if you're feeling like it's some sort of disconnect in your brain, like a literal disconnect of, like, you'll read something over and over and over and you just cannot get it in your head, because from what you said, it sounds to me more like something I've dealt with, not to that extent, but where you're so anxious about something that you can't tear yourself away from the anxious thoughts to even remember things. So you'll be quote-unquote reading and studying something, but you're not actually absorbing any of it because the whole time you're just enveloped in the anxiety of getting it done. Does that make sense? Hopefully I'm on the same page as you here. So, the way I would handle that is what I do is I would always try and, it's like I've mentioned like three fucking times this episode, is that I'm really high strung too with anxiety, is I would write down, I'd make a list of everything that I had to get done. And with time frames. So you get home, you're home from school at, you know, let's say you want to start your homework at 5 p.m. 5 p.m. to 5:45, read this, take notes on it. 5:45 to 6:50 or 6:45 or whatever. Do this and that. 6:45 to 8:30, do this and that. And then just do your best to stick to that. Even if it takes you less time or more time to do those assignments, that's not really the point. The point is getting it all on paper so that you have a tangible thing that you can look down at and be like, I've got a plan. As soon as I finish this list, my anxiety will be better. I will do this and the anxiety will be better. And that's how I would handle it, because that's what I did. Listing things, making schedules like that, for some reason that helped me a lot to handle anxieties. Hopefully it helps you. Hey, Taylor, I'd like to remain anonymous, so let me give you some story about me. I'm 17, senior in high school, and I've never really had a girlfriend. I haven't talked to many girls because I'm homeschooled. That makes sense. I mean, I guess your mom is there, but that's it. Unless you have a lot of sisters. I'm an average-looking guy, but I've been wanting a girlfriend for a while. Just haven't met one that I thought was attractive or that I've liked. Two very important things. But I really like one of my friend's sisters. She's 2 years younger than me. You're 17, senior in high school, and I think she might like me. I catch her looking at me sometimes, and she has said that I'm nice. Now, I don't know if that's a pretty big leap, but I don't know the dynamic. My friend really hasn't had a major problem with any of this. His other friend's talking to her. He even said that he would be okay with a specific friend dating her. So, Taylor, should I try and talk to her, or should I consult my friend first, or should I just avoid the situation altogether and try not to ruin the friendship? You can use this for the show. Good, because I just did. I mean, you're a senior in high school, man. You're about to go to college, I assume. So now is not the time to be starting a relationship with someone 2 years younger than you, particularly because I assume you'll be 18 soon, and you'll be an 18-year-old dating a 15-year-old, or an 18-year-old dating a 16-year-old, which, depending where you live, could be legal or not. But regardless, once you're in college and that whole social world opens up to you, you're going to be happy that you didn't limit yourself to the first girl to say that you were nice in this situation now. You know, you got the the mermaid effect, you know? You don't have much access to women. And so the first one that's given you a lot of attention, you're immediately globbing onto. Like, oh, I like this girl, I like this girl. But really, I think it's more that she's just the first one to give you a lot of attention, because just the nature of the beast of being homeschooled is you're not going to get as much. So once you're in college, you're going to be in that social sphere, and you're going to get a lot more opportunity. And suddenly you're going to be like, what the hell was I thinking doing that? Like, this ocean of chicks is so big, and I was about to relegate myself to one of those little shitty pools that gets all muddy when the tide goes out. Yeah, absolutely, dude. Just forego this. First of all, you're saving the friendship 100%. Not to say it would ruin it, but it's just, why take the risk? And second of all, you're going to be happy that you're not in a relationship with someone, that is potentially illegal, first of all, and also limiting you when you are in a situation to be more social in college or something like that. So that would be my advice there for you. Hopefully that helps you. Oh, this one, this will be the last thing, but this is, I asked about the whole, like, is it better to eat McDonald's and be a normal size or be obese but eat really healthy, like just shoveling fucking garbage bags full of kale into your face every day, getting fat on it? That'd be hard. Not a registered dietitian, but I'd like to weigh in on your McDonald's versus obesity question. I'll be completing my minor in human nutrition next year, so I'd like to think I know what I'm talking about on the subject. Being chronically obese significantly raises your chances for diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. On the flip side, fast food is very high in sodium and can raise your blood pressure in addition to the various vitamin deficiencies. Ultimately, not being obese is the lesser of two evils in most situations, including this one. That's what I thought! Put one in the win column for me. P.S. Love your podcast, and it's great that you're getting real sponsorship and also including the ludicrous, over-the-top fake sponsors, and hope you continue to include them. Well, thank you. I will, as long as I can think of fake companies to promote, because it is, it's hard. It's really not that hard. I wait until, like, fucking 3 minutes before I do these fucking podcasts, and then I make it up. Anyway, that's all I've got for this week. Check out the Patreon if you'd like to get those bonus episodes or just support the show. I really appreciate all the help, and hopefully you guys have a really good Thanksgiving. All right. Love you.